Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, as you know by now, unless you've been in a news vacuum, and if you're listening to the show, you're undoubtedly not in a news vacuum, immigrants and employers alike are bracing for what's being dubbed as a day without immigrants today. But as some immigrant groups weigh the risks of walking off the job en masse, many are going into hiding without a choice, many illegal immigrants, that is. Fears of a crackdown by federal officials have sent panic through immigrant communities and cleared many illegal workers from construction sites and restaurants and some clinics in New York and across the country. Clinics meaning some are not even going in for at-risk pregnancy care that they were getting. Kids are being kept home from Head Start programs. In addition, according to reports that have surfaced in the last few days, the fears were unfounded, according to immigrant advocacy groups, but they suspect there might be a campaign afoot to frighten demonstrators from today's rallies as well as from their lives as workers. In a few minutes, we will check in with WNYC reporters Arun Venugopal and Cindy Rodriguez about the protests taking place around the city. But with me right now to look at how illegal immigrants are getting caught up in the policy debate are Chunghwa Hong, Executive Director for the New York Immigration Coalition, and Rich Cunningham, Executive Director of the advocacy group New Labor. We have Rich first. Hi, Rich. Welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. How are you today?
Good. And we do want to open up the phones for anyone who this so-called day without immigrants is touching in any way. Are you a boycotter? Are you a business owner who's otherwise affected? Are you anyone else who is being affected by the choices that people are making to stay home from work or anything else? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Rich, I want to play a clip of Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff announcing a crackdown on one particular business that was apparently using, as Chertoff sees it, illegal immigrants as a business model. And we'll talk about how this announcement by Secretary Chertoff sparked this panic around the country.
The largest single worksite enforcement operation against a company in American history. In fact, we arrested more people in this single worksite enforcement operation than in the entirety of last year.
So, Rich Cunningham, he talked about arresting over 1,100 illegal immigrants as part of this sweep. Tell us what that actually was and the intended or unintended effects that you think it's having.
Right. That was the IFCO raids from about a week ago. And kind of the consequence that we saw right away was this kind of burgeoning rumor mill that there was going to be massive crackdowns over the next week. And so starting last Saturday, we started getting inundated with phone calls from members of the organization saying there are ICE raids taking place all over the state of New Jersey. And the rumors swelled very quickly and continued for a number of days where people were, you know, kind of paralyzed by the fear. People weren't going to work, kind of as you were describing. People were, you know, withholding going to doctors, going to places, because what was going on was that the raids were being described in a way that's not really consistent with ICE raids, but kind of randomly taking people off the street, right? And so there was utter fear within the community, especially in, you know, as the news report was saying, you know, the day labor sites are down, but they've been down for the last week as a result of these raids.
So do you think it's going to be difficult to figure out how many people are boycotting today and how many people are just staying home because they're still uncertain?
I think there's a definite problem in terms of trying to calculate the effectiveness of this boycott. One, because you can't monetize it, right? There's no way to put a dollar value. It's kind of like when the blackout happens in New York City, right? We kind of estimate what the impact's going to be. But in terms of number of people who are staying home out of fear versus the people who are staying home out of support, I think over the last week you saw that as good information got out into the community, the same rumor mill that kind of fueled the fire of this panic kind of reversed course, right? And so people started to put together that, you know, these are just kind of coincidences and things like that. But yeah, I think there will be some effect. But there's also some effect residual long-term from, you know, the firings of people on March 10th and April 10th, March 10th being the mass march in Chicago, April 10th being the National Day of Action, where people who did miss work were fired as well by their employers, right? So I think there's also just as many people who are not participating because they're afraid their employers might fire them as there are the right. thinking that there are ICE raids.
Also with us now for a few minutes is Chunghwa Hong, Executive Director for the New York Immigration Coalition. She's got a really busy day today, as you could imagine, and she joins us from Chinatown right now. Hi, Chunghwa. How's it going there?
Good morning. It looks really great. It's bustling as it would be every day, and that's why we're doing human chain events at the busiest bustling commercial strip throughout 10 locations in New York, because we want to show that immigrant business owners, workers, and residents all are critical parts of New York's economy. We're the economic engine of New York. We need reforms that will allow us to continue to be part of the economy and part of the nation.
So there's a human chain event planned for this afternoon in Chinatown?
Yes, two events in Chinatown.
Two different locations where human chains are going to be formed?
Right, right. In Chinatown alone, and there are 10 events throughout the city. And I think the most interesting thing about these human chain events is that it really brings out the diversity of each neighborhood, whether it's Coney Island or Battery Park or Jackson Heights or Chinatown. We're going to show the diversity of immigrants kind of working in businesses and, you know, different work sites all coming together to call on President Bush for reform.
Where else around the city? You said there are 10 sites.
Mm-hmm. In every borough, we have one in the Garment District. We have another one in Washington Heights, Battery Park, two in Chinatown, in the Bronx near Grand Concourse. So it's very exciting.
Chunghwa, do you think we've seen the effects of this scare that we were talking about with Rich Cunningham after that raid by the Homeland Security Department? Do you think we've seen the effects of the mm-hmm. I hope you're not getting arrested right at this moment. Seen the effects of the fear and the panic? Are people keeping their kids home from school? Are people not getting health care? Are people not going to work?
Yes. It's very unfortunate that our government has decided to do mass deportations of immigrants instead of looking for a real solution. Because even if we deported 1,000 people every single day, it'll take us about 50 years to deport all the undocumented immigrants. So, like, where is that going to bring us? We're just going to turn into a big deportation machine, whereas we're saying the real solution is to make sure that there aren't, you know, millions of people to deport in the first place. So let's give people who are here without status, legal status, so they can continue to contribute in the economy, in our communities, and let's just make sure that the future system works.
I know that you have to go in a minute, Chunghwa. You know, there's been a lot of division, I don't have to tell you, among immigrant advocacy groups regarding mm-hmm. this day without immigrants and whether it's a good idea and whether it might even backfire. We'll be mm-hmm. talking to a Quinnipiac University pollster later in the hour who just completed research finding that the various pro-immigrant protests around the country recently have mm-hmm. caused 17% of Americans to think better of immigrants and their cause, 38% to feel worse. So is this smart?
I see it as diverse ways of expressing ourselves, not necessarily division. So I think we're going to have great events and we'll be making a strong statement.
But
so
strategically?
I will see you later.
Okay,
I
know you got to go. Okay, Chunghwa Hong, Executive Director for the New York Immigration Coalition. Yes, we are still with Rich Cunningham, Executive Director of the advocacy group New Labor, which also advocates on behalf of new immigrants. It holds workshops, I understand, on what to do if there is an INS raid.
That's what we'll be doing today.
You will be doing that today where?
In New Brunswick, New Jersey. We are not part of necessarily the boycott, but we did feel that it was necessary to do something along the lines of an event because there was such a groundswell amongst the immigrant community to embrace this day. So we're going to be doing kind of a Know Your Rights workshop as well as kind of where are we on the legislative process. And then from there, we're going to bus people over to Perth Amboy, New Jersey, where the bishop of the Diocese of Metuchen will be holding a mass kind of in support of comprehensive immigration reform.
Now, I understand that your group does not actually support the boycott today.
That's true.
Why not?
I think because when you look at it, you know, what it, the objective of the boycott is to demonstrate the contribution of immigrants to the economy. And I think when you look at why groups are kind of looking at it this way is because, you know, kind of, I mean, we've fallen victim to it already this morning, right? We're talking about day laborers as being the face of undocumented immigrants in this country. But, you know, a recent study by UCLA shows there's only a little bit more than 100,000 to 200,000 day laborers, right? There's 13 million undocumented people. Mm-hmm. Where are these people working, right? They're working in places like Purdue, Tyson in the Midwest, right, doing poultry and meat processing.
And those businesses, huge as they are, actually shut down for today because they didn't think they could do business on with
right.
even a partial boycott.
So from that point of view, the general strike or not going to work today and boycotting, I think it has been very successful in terms of the objective of educating the public about what the contribution to immigrant workers is to the economy and how integrated they are now, as opposed to, you know, we kind of, I think some people operate still with this kind of 1980s view of what undocumented workers are doing in the economy, right? It's not just busboys. It's not just construction. It's warehousing, distribution centers, light manufacturing, poultry processing, meat processing, you know, construction, as well as the service sector, right? Janitorial and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the idea is to try and show people where these workers are, you know, so that when somebody goes to a TGI Fridays today and it's closed because it had no workers, you would be able to demonstrate, you know, get people to start to expand where they're thinking about where these guys are working.
Let's take a call. Maya, or is it Mia in Brooklyn?
It's Maya, how are you, Brian?
Good, Maya. How you doing?
Good, thanks. So I'm at home with my child because my babysitter, who is actually a documented immigrant, is on the day of strike, and we actually had a conversation about it. She asked me if it was okay to take the day off, and I support the strike, so I told her absolutely.
So did you then, as a ripple effect, take the day off from a job to stay home with your child?
That's correct. So I'm not at work, and she's not at work.
Are you charging a regular old vacation day?
I am.
And does your employer know why you're taking this day off, and do you count yourself as, in effect, a striker?
Well, I'm actually the boss, so yes, my employer knows. And but no, I guess technically I'm not a striker. I'm a vacationer.
Yeah. Are you paying your babysitter?
I am paying her.
Good for you. Okay, Maya, thanks a lot for calling. And we'll take many more calls. Any other employers, any bigger employers than just employing a babysitter, want to call in on the effects that you're seeing or anyone else? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Rich Cunningham, we have to take a break in 20 seconds, but the reassurance from the government after that raid was that they were only going after businesses that use illegal immigrants as their business model. It sounds right. like from your answer a minute ago, that's tons of businesses from the chicken industry to construction and everything else.
What's missing from this dialogue is really this component of the subcontracted economy that we now have, right? If you look at even back to the Walmart incident a few years ago with mass numbers of undocumented janitors, right? It was through this subcontracted work relationship that they were pulling workers in.
Hold the thought. We'll pick it up in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. As we follow events on this day of a general strike or a day without immigrants, as organizers are calling it, how is this affecting you? Are you a striker? Are you being struck? What do you think about it all? Are you observing anything in your neighborhood? Give us a call if you fit into any of those categories. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And we'll continue to have lots of guests this hour. We'll finish up right now with Rich Cunningham, Executive Director of the advocacy group New Labor. Rich, before the break, you were talking about a ripple effect regarding employment of illegal immigrants having to do with subcontractors?
Absolutely. And kind of finishing the thought, when we had the Walmart raids, we saw that they were using subcontracted, you know, janitors through these other kind of employers. And so what we see on a day-to-day basis is that, right? I mean, you know, you think about it when you walk into an office and you see a janitor who's wearing a shirt that has a name of a company that's not the company you're visiting. You know, when you go to shop at different stores, right, the janitorial service is provided by somebody outside. If you go to Home Depot, right, some of the flower plants are being arranged by people who are wearing shirts from different places. The back end in the warehouses of other companies are being outsourced to these temporary employment agencies and contract service providers. And so that's one of the ways that you see how integrated undocumented workers have become into the economy, because there's this kind of separation between the employer and the worker that is happening through these firms.
Let me take one phone call for you. Steve in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good morning, and thanks very, very much for hosting another extremely thoughtful program on this issue.
Thanks.
I'm a little concerned with the way the number of things. There's a mantra that's being repeated by the organizers. This is a day without immigrants. It's, in fact, a day without illegal aliens. And there are there's another very large group out there that cares about this issue that are not employers and not illegal aliens, and that's the American people. I have to say that the amnestying of 12 million people who have entered this country illegally, or guest worker programs, which are an abomination, those two things offend, I think, the great majority of Americans, as polls show. Both, I think, they offend both progressive Americans, who regard guest worker programs as creating a class of helots, who will never achieve citizenship, who will simply be there to work at the bottom, and depress wages. And I think that those people who are, I don't think the word even conservative covers it, but people who believe in the rule of law.
Steve, I'm gonna leave it there because your cell phone is breaking up so badly. But Rich Cunningham, very briefly, respond to both those concerns.
I think that one thing is the majority of Americans do support an earned pathway to citizenship, and polls have continuously shown that. The second part is, you know, I think that if you look at the people who are supportive of immigrants and an earned pathway to citizenship and those who are concerned about it, the Lou Dobbs kind of people, there's a lot more similarities in terms of what we see as the problems. It's the solution that we differ on. And so we just, you know, as groups who are advocating for comprehensive immigration reform, we see that the only way to solve the problem is to integrate that workforce and those people into our economy as well as our society.
Steve, thanks again for your call. And Rich Cunningham, thank you. Rich Cunningham is executive director of the New Jersey-based advocacy group New Labor. Thanks a lot for coming on with us. I really appreciate
Brian.
It. And joining us next is WNYC reporter Arun Venugopal, who is out covering the areas where business might be affected, where there might be human chains as well, at 12:16 this afternoon, which is the exact minute that those chains are being called for. Arun, hi, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Brian.
Where are you?
I'm at the corner of Catherine and East Broadway in Chinatown. That's considered by some sort of a newer part of Chinatown where people from the Fujianese section of China have settled down in more recent years.
And what's it like?
Well, right now it's relatively normal, I guess you could say. They are expecting at 12:16 in less than an hour for people to gather and form human chains along East Broadway. There is, I guess, some concern within this part of the Chinese community, that is the Fujianese section, that a lot of their workers will be affected by the immigration reform. It's not quite the same, from what I can tell, in the older parts of Chinatown where they say everything is proceeding as normal, and they don't feel like they have as many, or at least they don't admit to as many undocumented workers in the older parts. They say they're older businesses have people that have been there for decades, and they're all documented, and that they're not necessarily going to be out there in public and holding hands.
Do the streets feel very different?
Actually, right now it looks like it's fairly normal. I don't hear of many people who are not coming to work. What I have been told is that a few businesses which have Hispanic workers that they, for instance, a wholesale vegetable vendor, that 8 out of 10 of his employees didn't show up, so he's kind of making do with with what he does have, but basically a lot of the businesses here have Chinese employees, and from what I can tell, most of them have been showing up.
So do you think there are cultural differences, let's say, among the Chinese immigrant community versus various Latino immigrant communities on how they approach this issue, even if they're affected in similar ways?
I do think that there is definitely some differences between the communities. I think at least a few people have told me that Chinese people feel more conservative in terms of getting out there protesting, that a human chain is not something that Chinese people would feel as comfortable going out there and holding hands. Somebody told me, you know, we don't hold hands with our wives walking down the street. We're not going to hold hands with some strangers. But other people disagree with that. They say we're going to have, say, 500 to 1,000 people out here. And he kind of smiled when I asked him about the hand-holding party. He said, well, they'll be out here, and I think some of them will be holding hands. So at least in the way that they demonstrate, there might be differences. I think in the numbers, I get the sense there will be maybe a smaller percentage of this community would feel willing to get out there and put themselves on the line. But I guess we'll see as the day progresses.
And I guess we should say these human chains scheduled for 10 locations in New York City and many places around the country today are being set for exactly 12:16 this afternoon to represent December 16th, the day that the Sensenbrenner bill passed the House of Representatives. That's the bill that would make illegal immigrants felons as well as people who aided and abetted their staying here, correct?
That's right. That's right. 12:16. They found that to be at least locally. I don't think this is necessarily happening all over the country at the same time, but everybody, there are different groups around the country, and even within cities, different groups have different ways of commemorating this day. And there are differences within the immigrant community about how to best, show their solidarity. Some people are advocating the work boycott. Others are not. They think it's somewhat destructive. There's also a shopping boycott that's been advocated by some, but others are saying, well, within immigrant communities, if you're not shopping, then you're only hurting other immigrants. So there are different approaches, and they seem to be coexisting, I guess, so far.
Oh, so just to be clear, though, the 12:16 thing, as well as the human chain thing, is a New York thing?
As I understand it, I don't think that it's necessarily something that's what some activists have said, that it's
right.
More of a local observance.
Okay. WNYC's Arun Venkopal in Chinatown right now. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Bye.
David in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi, good morning. I am a small business owner, and I closed today not in fear because I don't have any immigrants working for me, except that we're all descendants of immigrants. I closed in support and told all my people to stay home today and do what they can in order to support immigrants in this country.
What kind of business do you have?
I'm a promotional products and printer.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a lot of immigrant employees?
I do not. I'm closed in support of the immigrants that are here.
Were your employees surprised when you announced that you would do that?
I believe they were, because they got the call yesterday. It was not something that was prearranged.
What made you decide at the last minute?
I've always been in support of opening our borders. I think as one of the strongest nations in the world, we should have the most open door policy. We should be giving everybody the opportunity that my parents and grandparents had to come here and make life better for them.
When you say open borders, do you really mean open borders? Let people flow as freely as, say, capital across borders?
No, I don't think we have to do that, Brian. What I'm saying is that our policies are so stringent as it is now that the people that do the jobs that I would never do or want to do, i.e. a cab driver here in New York City, I wouldn't want to do that. Or dishwasher. These are things that people get a start here with, and they can grow into better jobs. We started on the railroads when my family came over, and we were considered the lowest of the classes when we first came in. I think that we should give the opportunity, not an open door policy, not a 100% open door, because I don't think we could handle that, but I think we need to be able to say, yes, you can come here and make a life better for yourself than where you're coming from.
David, thanks a lot for calling us. I appreciate you speaking out. Vanna in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello there.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. So are you a boycotter today?
No, I'm not, because I think certain professions shouldn't boycott, like teachers and the nurses and doctors. I'm a nurse, so I need to go to work.
Yes.
So I will be working, but I support the immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
I do, because I myself was immigrant for a long time. And fortunately, I speak the English very well, so people never really looked at me as immigrant. But I think that kind of worked for my advantage.
You were an illegal immigrant. Were you able to get work as a nurse on the books as an illegal?
Yeah.
They didn't...
I'm not an illegal immigrant anymore. I'm a citizen. I mean, I have a green card now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I just got it a couple of months ago.
Ha! Huh. Congratulations. And how does that make you feel differently from before?
It makes me much more confident about what I want to say to people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more outspoken. I mean, I'm an outspoken person, but nowadays I can say with much more solidity, a lot more facts behind me. And I know the illegal immigrants can do a lot more than people think they can do. And there are a lot of illegal immigrants who are highly educated but not getting a chance. And I truly believe that people who are educated, contributing to this country, regardless of their status, they should be getting other type of consideration, because they're not doing a bad job, they're not stealing, and if they're contributing to the government and the society, they should be acknowledged for that.
What do you say to people who complain that there's a fundamental unfairness about even people like you jumping the line against, I gather you're from Sri Lanka, right?
Yeah.
Jumping the line ahead of maybe thousands of other people from Sri Lanka who are waiting years to get into the country legally.
Could be that, but I came here as a teenager, so I didn't have a choice. I didn't jump the border. I came as a visitor, and I was so young that I didn't have any choice but staying. And I stayed. I put myself through college. I didn't take any government loan. And I went through every single aspect of American education that I can pursue and, you know, better myself.
What do you mean you didn't have a choice, though?
I was 15. I couldn't go back.
Your parents brought you here?
My parents were politically involved. I left the country because of those reasons.
Uh-huh.
And politically, we are very involved in our country, but we didn't want it to go and risk our life.
But you still couldn't get a legal immigration status around that fact.
No, and at age of 15, you can't really apply as a minority either.
Yes.
So those were the things that was working against me. But now I feel like that since I follow the rules, I really, really waited for the right minute. I applied for amnesty, and I got it. And I think people can get it that way. It's a long process. It could be discouraging at times, but it's possible. It's really possible to do pursue if you have it. And America is the only country that can give it to it. I lived in a lot of different countries, and I know America is the only country is the best country for me.
Vanna,
that's why people come here.
Thanks so much for your call, and good luck
to
you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a good day.
Now, as we've said, all this action by immigrant groups is taking place in the backdrop of a heated policy debate in Congress. Lawmakers are looking closely at how their actions will shape the opinion of constituents in this important election year. So we're going to speak now to a pollster following trends in the immigration debate. Peter Brown is the assistant director of the Quinnipiac University Polling Institute. Peter, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning.
You've got some numbers here that don't really seem to bode very well for the political impact of actions like this Day Without Immigrants. What you got?
Well, again, we poll in several states, and we did a poll in Florida, which is, you know, generally thought of to be the most important swing state in the country. And we asked the following question 2 weeks ago. As you know, recently there have been large demonstrations around the country by people who want Congress to change the law to make it possible for illegal immigrants to become legal residents and become citizens. Have those demonstrations made you more sympathetic or less sympathetic to their goals? 17% said it made them more sympathetic. 38% said it made them less sympathetic. Now, Florida is obviously different than New York, but Florida, as I said, is a pretty good barometer of the country's public opinion, as we know from past elections.
So you wrote an op-ed in the Sacramento Bee saying if immigrant supporters are lucky, today's boycott will fail.
That's my judgment. I mean, if those who want Congress to make the changes in immigration law that the demonstrators say they want, then my guess is that smaller demonstrations will do less to harm those chances than larger demonstrations.
Of course, potentially a show of force by 12 million people, if every illegal immigrant in the country, and if that number is accurate as an estimate of every illegal immigrant in the country, stayed home from work and the economy was really so influenced, they would certainly make their point.
Well, they would, but the question, well, but we don't know exactly how it'll be influenced. I mean, everybody's assuming that, you know, that everybody will stay home and that the economy will grind to a halt. We don't know that. And perhaps after this day and the demonstrations, we, you know, if we poll again, we might may or may not see a different answer. My guess is, frankly, we won't.
On this lack of...
My speculation is that large demonstrations will be very polarizing.
On this lack of support that you found, you wrote in your op-ed about the lack of a tradition for national strikes in the U.S. in contrast to other parts of the world, Latin America and Europe.
That's correct. I mean, general strikes are, you know, the way things get done politically in much of the world. Look what happened in France last month.
Mm-hmm. Which was also
generally shut the country down and the government caved in.
Which was also on a wage and labor issue.
That's correct. But there is no history of that in the United States. Historically, that is not how change has come. Many people who are demonstrating today, for instance, who are older, might look back at the Vietnam War protests as, you know, the highlight of populist democracy in this country. Perhaps, but it took 8 years from when the anti-war movement got really heavy in the mid to late 60s before we got out of Vietnam. And it's worth remembering that George McGovern, who was the candidate of those pollsters, of those protesters, was the biggest loser in American presidential history.
So based on your understanding of public opinion, how would you advise organizers of the pro-immigrant groups? I'm not asking you to say that you agree with them, but based on public opinion, how would you advise them to proceed for maximum impact?
Well, I think one of the things we saw in March was as the demonstrations moved on in time, we saw more American flags and fewer Mexican flags. My guess is that is helpful in terms of public opinion.
And we have 20 seconds.
And generally, I think that the notion of becoming part of the United States is appealing. We are a country of immigrants. I listened to some of your callers. They're absolutely right. Americans are very sympathetic to immigrants. The question, I think, is what you find. I think the resentment that we found to some degree on this poll question, and I think it's true across the country, is based on a sense of not exactly sure what the rules should be.
Peter Brown from the Quinnipiac Institute. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we continue to follow developments this morning on this day without immigrants and continue to take your phone calls. Are you observing the day? Do you oppose the day? Are you seeing the effects of the day without immigrants, of people staying home from work in your life, in your community? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. WNYC's Cindy Rodriguez joins us next. She's in Sunset Park, Brooklyn. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Brian.
So what's happening in Sunset Park?
Well, in Sunset Park, I'm standing in front of several businesses that have their gates shuttered. They've closed for the day. There's a furniture store, a jewelry store, a bakery, a children's store. And there are, I would say, about three dozen people gathered here right now on the corner of 46th Street and 5th Avenue. Some are holding American flags. Some are holding red, white, and blue signs that say, I love immigrant New York. They're getting ready to march up the street at 12:16. The business owners that did stay open are supposed to close down and come outside and join hands with them and join them for a few minutes to show their solidarity.
And do you expect a human chain to take place there?
Yeah, that's what is supposed to happen. That's the idea. Everyone is supposed to grab hands and stand out here for a few minutes in a show of solidarity, and also to show what an economic engine the immigrant population is here in New York.
Right. How much debate did you find among the people you've spoken to about whether to boycott or how to boycott?
Well, amongst those that I've spoken to, most people that I've spoken to didn't go to work today. And those that did, even though they did, they were very supportive of those who didn't. And, you know, I was in Jackson Heights, Queens this morning on Roosevelt Avenue with there's a block on Roosevelt that's a place where day laborers stand and try to find work. And there were people there waiting for contractors. I didn't see many contractors showing up, but the ones that were there said that this isn't normally the way it was. Typically, there was dozens and dozens more people, and they were planning on calling it an early morning and joining some of the protests if they didn't get work for the day.
And I don't know if you got to ask any of the people joining the boycott or supporting the boycott whether they're concerned strategically with what our last guest was talking about, which is that traditionally in the United States and in the case of the recent immigrant protests, according to this Quinnipiac poll, it's creating more backlash than support.
You know, I have not asked people that question, so I don't have a good answer for you. But from the people that I've spoken to who obviously are out here and obviously in support of it, they feel pretty strong that a statement needs to be made. And in fact, there was a woman here who was carrying a sign that says, "I lost my job to be here today." She spoke about working at a deli on 41st Street in Lexington. She said she was a cashier there, and her boss would not let her take the day off, and she felt it was important, so she quit. So I haven't heard any remarks about a backlash, but I have heard plenty of people feeling sort of empowered by taking the day off and coming out here today.
And any fears of government raids along the line of what we were talking about earlier in the hour, this one business that got hit, but in various of its locations around the country with 1,100 illegal immigrants.
You know, I haven't heard any of that today, but I have heard that in the days leading up to today. I've heard people, advocates, saying that many of their members have been asking them, is it safe to come out, and have been worried, you know, that something might happen. People here today haven't been saying that. One woman did comment on her family, some of her family members who were a little scared to come out today, but she said she convinced them to join her.
Do I hear a chant of USA in the background there?
No, I think you heard a chant of Si Se Puede, actually.
Ah, Si Se Puede, which rhymes with USA, which is why
yes,
I heard that.
They said it and I just wasn't catching it, but I did hear Si Se Puede.
And for those who don't know the phrase, what does it say in English?
Yes, we can, is what it means in English.
Anybody singing the Star Spangled Banner in Spanish today out there?
No, nobody is doing that. There is a huge American flag, though, that's being waved on top of it. There's a little Colombian flag perched on top, and there's a few Mexican flags out here today as well.
All right. Where in Sunset Park are you, Cindy?
46th Street and 5th Avenue, which is a big there's a big Mexican community that lives in Sunset Park.
Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you, Brian.
WNYC Cindy Rodriguez in Sunset Park, Brooklyn. Cindy mentioned that day laborers who lined up were waiting for some contractors. She didn't see many contractors today. And here calling in, I think, is such a contractor, Jeff in Manhattan. Hi, Jeff. You're on WNYC.
Yes, Brian.
Hi. So turn down your radio so that you don't get a delay.
Got it.
And I gather you employ some foreign workers or immigrant workers in construction?
Yes, I do. And I'm also happen to be a criminal lawyer. So it offends me in two different ways that you want to make my guys felons. These guys are heroes. I don't get any Americans that want to come and work. They stay for a day and they say the work's too hard. They don't come back.
And so are some of the workers that you picked up in your contracting job illegal?
Well, as a criminal lawyer, I didn't check their status, but I would imagine possibly.
Now, wait, you're a lawyer and a construction contractor. Do I have this right?
That's correct.
That's a pretty unusual combination.
Yes, it is. I've been doing the law for 15 years, and it's got to be too much already.
Uh-huh. So what do you say to the people who are arguing that this whole thing is not only unfair, but it's even a form of colonization by Mexico, sending its workers over here, dispelling its poverty problem across our border, forcing the United States to take on a lot of the social services for people who they can't afford to provide government services for. What do you think about that?
Brian, I can't get enough guys to work. I need these guys. And these are hardworking guys. They're not using any social services. I have three guys here. They live in one room in Manhattan. I drop them off at night, and they're happy to work, and they show up on time, and they're great workers.
So, you know, some people would say that if employers, even I guess including yourself, were to pay more of a living wage, then you could get Americans to do the work that you're offering. We certainly have a lot of unemployed people in New York City.
Brian, I've hired Americans, like I said. None of them show up to work the next day. The wage was not the concern. They don't want to. They just don't want to work.
They don't want to do the particular kinds of work that you're offering?
Correct. This is late. You know, it's labor. We're building two family houses, and it's hard work.
Jeff, thanks a lot for your call. We appreciate it. As we continue to talk about this day without immigrants and see what people are saying, see what people are doing. Brian Lehrer on WNYC 93.9 and AM 820. Our phone number 212-433-WNYC. And the workers taking part in today's action are trying to highlight the role of immigrants in jobs like construction and farming and various service industries. We had the nurse call up who worked during her illegal status, though she now has a green card. Well, some immigrant artists are also trying to highlight the impact of immigration laws on them. A Chelsea art gallery held a competition for 10 foreign-born artists to produce a work that's supposed to mimic the immigrant experience, or at least reflect it. And the prize? Access to a lawyer to sponsor them for a visa. Joining me now is the winner of the Asylum NYC contest. She is Dusanka Komnenic, a painter from Serbia and Montenegro. Dusanka, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Can you hear me? I'm in the middle of the street, so it's kind of noisy, but can you hear me well?
I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can. Perfect.
Good. So describe your work of art that won this prize.
Oh, sure. It's I'm pretty happy with what I created, you know, having no materials and no access to materials. So, as you know, we had to rely on visitors only and on their help. And so that was a beautiful experience, how helpful people were and how serious they were about helping us. So my project the beginning of the project was, you know, all of us were assigned a certain space that we couldn't leave. We couldn't cross a border, nor we could take it off. And the border was created with a masking tape. So I spent all night long just thinking, how do I overcome this problem? Like, how do I, you know, not break the rule, and how do I just bend it?
So let me just make sure that I understood those rules correctly. You cannot use any traditional art materials. You were only able to use the people who were visiting the art gallery?
Exactly. So we were not allowed to bring any materials with us, anything. We were assigned just a notebook and a pencil, and a pen, actually.
I see. So you could use the people as objects of art, or you could have them donate things to you?
Exactly. You could create anything, like either situation or interaction or anything that will comment on regimes of exclusionary practice within contemporary U.S. culture.
So what'd you do?
And what did you say?
So what did you do?
Oh, and as I said, we had this tape that we were assigned. It was like 2 square meters, pretty much. And I'm thinking, how do I overcome this border? And then I decided to just create the pattern that will mimic the border. So I receded the border inside of my box. You know what I mean? I just taped in the floor of my space with the same exact border they gave to me, mm-hmm. they assigned to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, oops, I lost my border. Because all of these lines now look the same, and I don't know which one is the border then. So since I lost my border, I just decided to expand because I couldn't find it anymore.
That's pretty funny.
And so I was just expanding my space piece by piece, and I was, of course, depending on people. So you know, one night, that was probably the second night, I ran out of tape, and guardians realized that. So then they said, you can't go back to your previous space anymore, to the space that was assigned to you originally. You now live only in the space that you create.
I heard Pat Buchanan on the radio last night, and he was saying pretty much the same thing, that Mexico is expanding their border, taking back parts of California and Texas without firing a shot.
And so I was challenged every day, and I was trying to challenge them as well, and, you know, just to see who win in this intellectual little game. And so finally, you know, I made it to Danton's door with my pattern. And I didn't want to leave asylum, you know, even though it would be visually beautiful just to continue with that pattern outside the box. I decided not to do it because it would be conceptually wrong. You know, it was an asylum. It wasn't a prison. So I wasn't trying to escape from it.
Mm.
And then the guardians again challenged me, saying you should not make your own borders, because by stopping creating this pattern, I created my border. You know what I mean?
Yes. So go ahead. Sorry.
And so then I spent the last night again thinking, how do I respond to this challenge now, you know, because I will have to stop creating this pattern at one point, sooner or later. And then I just decided to cover myself, to tape myself with the same pattern I was applying on the floor.
Wow.
And I just covered myself completely, like from head to toe, with the same pattern, and I left out. And I said I extend my borders wherever I go because I extend borders.
Talk about immersing yourself in your work.
Yes.
Was this very difficult for you to come up with all this conceptual stuff, since I gather you're usually a painter?
Yes, but I really read a lot, and I am interested in conceptual art, even though I'm an object maker, you know, a painter. I create objects. But lately, I just started thinking, because I moved back and forth and I'm a nomad in the last couple of years, my paintings became a huge weight, you know, just a heavy weight to me. And I don't appreciate them anymore because I just have to ship them, move them back and forth and carry them with my own hands. And then I'm thinking I should really create a piece of art that will just exist then. And that would be a response to whatever issue. And then it disappears. You know, I document it, and it doesn't exist anymore. And this was a perfect opportunity for me to just try to do that.
So you won this Asylum NYC art contest sponsored by this gallery in Chelsea, and your prize is access to an immigration lawyer. Do you need one?
Yes, I got one.
I mean, do you...
I certainly do. My status was expiring in a month. Actually, in 2 months or so from now. And after that, I'm going to go back to Belgrade, Serbia. But now I'm just trying to reconsider and just rearrange my life around these new events that have occurred in the past couple of days.
So you're going back to Serbia when your visa expires?
I'm not now.
Oh, because now you have a lawyer to fight for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And so how do you feel about this boycott today, this general strike, this day without immigrants?
I know, but I'm now in Milwaukee, and I'm not sure what's going on. I just flew in, like, last night around 3 a.m., and I taught a class till a couple of minutes ago. So I know there is a huge thing, and... this is a really complicated issue. You know, there is not a single right answer to this.
Why do you say it's complicated?
because there is one point of view from immigrants' point of view, and then there is another point of view from like citizens. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And both of them have rights. You know what I mean? Both of them are equally right in their own opinion.
Countries have the right to establish their borders and set their immigration policies, and immigrants have the right to wrap themselves in tape and plant themselves wherever they want.
Yeah, and be like twice as smarter as citizens than citizens in order to survive here.
Twice as smart as citizens in order to survive here. Well, you were certainly twice as creative to win this contest. Dusanka Komnenic, a painter originally from Serbia and Montenegro. Good luck to you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Nuala McGovern produced this program with Jim Colgan, Priya George, Lisa Allison. I'm leaving somebody out. And help today from Kara Woodward. That's Debbie Daughtry at the audio controls. Music provided by Soul Live. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.